nothing can ever be consistent in a universe where male and female are intertwined in the wrong way. When that happens, the laws of the universe go bonkers. Things start to go astray, and then we witness what I think it would be right to call the reverse Big Bang. As man, you and I are trying to build a notion of more capable men. I insist upon the fact that we are not aiming for perfection, but rather for constant and consistent elevation and betterment. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing what we're doing. It took me a wild amount of time to do this episode because I want it to be significant. Let's base this episode on the premise that is known to everyone across the world. I think it needs no proving that everything in the universe is based on the conjunction of male and female elements. Even men are made partly with female energy, and women are made partly with male energy. That means that everything, for its balance, depends on the collaboration of different and opposite energies. Not in the way to contradict each other, but more in the way of collaborating, whatever the matter is. For the same reason, the society that we all belong to should have the same composition. Men and women should thrive toward that evenness. Men and women should play their part for society to be balanced, for universe to sit right into us and us into it. But what exactly does that mean for us as men? What does it mean to be a man and to act like it? As far as I'm concerned, and I have said this countless of times, most of the pains, the ailments that the world suffers from can be healed just by men if they decide to stand up and do something about their own problems. Because I believe that most problems men have left unsolved become few. Women use to set the destructive fire that's burning manhood and in consequence the whole society. That is pretty much all this episode is about. I could stop there, pull out and mind my business. But the reason why I can't is that even though this statement is crystal clear and non-debatable, some of us are still confused about what it means to society, and that confusion is creating chaos. I believe in self-differentiation and self-determination. I believe that each of us has a role to play in fixing and maintaining society as it ought to be. And as we all know, charity begins at home. So it starts with us. Manhood is a hell of a thing if we think about it. Life is created, nay, generated by us. The responsibility to willingly consent to self-sacrifice and find pleasure in it is not accessible to everyone. When we create human beings, we pull blood, nutrient, oxygen, among others, and we pour all of it into the receptacle that a woman represents. If she happens to be in a period where she can ovulate, then she takes the product that we gave her and then continues the process of creation through nurturing until maturity and parturition. If she's not, then she consumes what we just gave her, and undoubtedly it makes her better. In any case, we men are pushing a part of ourselves outside of ourselves. For some of us, We just don't realize it because of lust. The process of bedding a woman is a pleasure, but for some others, it's a sacrifice. A sacrifice that we know deeply is destructive, but still consent to it because the bigger picture that we are envisioning goes beyond our small self. When we enter the womb of a woman, we praise God. We see ourselves infatuated with the delicacy that we truly yearn for. Sometimes we lose ourselves in them, but sometimes we find ourselves because of them. For a man who understands what it means to be a man, nothing is greater than self-sacrifice. To let your life flow out of you on purpose to create something that will outlast you. I'm talking about creation. I'm talking about pride made flesh. I'm talking about a whole human being born from your decision to make the world a better place. But why am I starting off like this? Why am I defining manhood through sexuality? Because it shows and proves, without the shadow of the doubt, the concept of self-sacrifice, which is the very fabric of manhood. There is no real man who has not given up something for the betterment of the world. If you came here expecting me to go berserk on ladies, well, you know you came to the wrong place. Now let me talk to you unpoised. There are principles to self-sacrifice as far as a man is concerned. And if you closely observe how one procreates, you'll see that everything makes sense. Nothing is random. To give the best version of yourself to anybody, be it a cause, a woman, or anything worthy, you first must understand the principles and apply them to yourself, so that those principles could reveal the version of you that'll make sense to the universe. All human beings who were manufactured with male genitalia are called masculine, right? They are males, but not all of them are men. You might have been built with the apparatus of a man, but you still must find out if you are a man, because a man is made with the fabric that is different from that of just a male. Being a male is biological. It can be a male dog, bull, bison, cat, but being a man is different. It is a choice, a pursuit, a purpose. You do not become a man because you are built like a leech, because you are ferocious. It's part of it, but just part of it. That is not the whole thing. Being a man is a decision. One cannot be a man by chance. One cannot grow into a man because one was born male. Because there are so many layers involved that there is no possibility of becoming one without knowing where one is headed. It demands personal work that is constant, deep, consistent, and self-applied. But it all starts with understanding why we were created as we are in the first place. Adam and Eve were corrupted by the serpent, so God expelled both from the Garden of Eden. He also spoke unto them in a way that we all happen to believe to a certain extent, that he cursed them. He specifically said to Adam that since he listened to his wife, and ate from the tree which he was commanded not to eat from. The soil was cursed because of him, and then he shall scratch his living through struggle, and then he sentenced him to return to dust as he was made from it. Let's get a little colloquial here, because big words can sometimes put context to sleep. God forbade Adam and Eve from consuming from the tree at the middle of the garden, right? But they did. So he said, since you did this, then the consequence shall be death. If we follow logic, then we don't understand that is more of him putting them before the consequence of the choice than it is a punishment or a curse. Everything we do in life deserves and has consequence or consequences. The ultimate consequence of sin as described in the Bible is death. Here, we are not talking about immediate death. We are talking about progressive death that is translated into life as we know it. Because if you do pay attention to life, it is a journey toward death. Every time, every second we die. By the time we open our eyes to life, we start dying because we have fallen off the grace of the paradise that we were living in because we sinned. But first, let's see. What is a sin? What is a sin? A sin is a choice. The sin originated from a place of choice. God has created life from the perspective of unity. The existence of options gives one the possibility to choose the wrong one. Thus, the provenance of sin is the choice. Sin is just the choice of the option that satisfies the need of a lower self more than that of the higher self, which is closer to God. But as we know, every choice must engender a consequence. Since our ancestors have made theirs, then they should be exposed to the consequences. What is the consequence of a sin as dire as destructing the everlasting life project that God had for us? Well, it should be something as equally important as that, right? Something like slow death. A death that we experienced every day as our health either declines naturally or is exposed to mortality through accident and such. The consequence of destroying eternal life is acquiring daily death that translates in terms of life. It's simple. The problem with humanity in general and man in particular is that we tend to shy away from our task. It was said unto us that as a result of our choice, we shall endure harsh life until the time comes for us to cease existing and return to dust as we rose from it. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is the meaning of being a man. The main suffering of a man comes from not accepting his suffering as a duty. He prefers to think that it was pushed on him instead of understanding that it is nothing than the retribution in response to the choice of the human prototype that Adam and Eve were. A man should willfully accept his destiny, which is ultimate cessation to exist, preceded by a material life riddled by bumps and bruises, couple of happy moments here and there, and most importantly, responsibility to make existence worth a while. From the religious standpoint, it is believed that we can buy back eternity by living in a responsible way, by accepting and shouldering your part of what is the brutal truth of existence. The question, why are we here? Why do we come into existence? Just to start dying right after. Those questions demand introspection. They demand for us to buckle up, because if we have to start losing speed as soon as the race starts, we need to manage the race in such a way that the finish line, regardless of what distance it ends up being from our start line, holds a set of accomplishment. But accomplishment of what? Well, the accomplishment of understanding that our burden is justified always by the choice that we make, and that the ultimate endings shall be a logical consequence of the very first choice. There is no fatality. The choice must bear fruit. When we show the life as it comes, as a choice that we make, we redefine the canvas of our existence. We paint a more detailed picture of our idea of humanity with the brush we were offered. Some of us men go through life not knowing what to expect from it. The reason is because they are still oblivious to the fact that unless they accept the responsibility of life, the tools for living this life will not be available. For that, pain, suffering, frustration, being misunderstood, depression, humiliation, tears come to him as a package. All those things are not meant to punish him or to put a negative connotation upon the title of man. They are rather there to reinforce his status, to give him the backbone that is necessary to move through life as gracefully as he can. Choosing to become a man is basically choosing to accept that above all else rests life. Not as we know, but as we should have experienced it. The choice to live this life as a choice, not one that was forced on us, but one that was made by us, is our way to revive that other life in a symbolic way. By choosing life, we choose life. By living the slow death consciously and willingly, we outlive the end of it, because it takes more colors, more definition. Now, we have more control. We have more things to gloat about, so to be said, but much, much less to complain about. Each male should choose to be a man. That's us reclaiming our plain potentiality, our full capacity of realization. There is some kind of humility in being strong-minded when life comes at us. full force. It is a yielding to a will that is bigger than ours. Imagine everything you have the will for. Well, the universe has a will that is bigger than that. And you have a choice between either submitting to that will and aligning yours onto it, or resist to it and get crushed in the process. There is a certain beauty that comes with the dignity which accompanies a man in the making, the one who has started by being unsure, who did not even know there was such a thing as being a man, transformed from being just a male. When you decide to become a man, it's because you have caught a glimpse of greatness, the greatness that it takes to be a god, as described in Psalm 82 verse 6, Son of the Most High, the privilege that it takes to be part of their will. As we said earlier, the first step to start building a man one is meant to be is to understand that the life of a man is a trip of self-sacrifice, because the right understanding calls for the right action through the right speech. That means that when one understands what the basic reason is why one should willfully accept being a man, there is no longer room for confusion. From then on, every decision he makes, every single choice, and even his way of life is to separate himself from the part of him that lacks the comfort. Thus, the judgment and fingers pointed towards other. Self-sacrifice consists in recognizing in oneself the source of the other's wrongdoing. This means that the comfort of thinking that what is wrong, or at least not right in our lives, is the fault or can be fixed by others. That also means the abandonment, or at least the lessening of the pleasures that sit in the material. A man should be able to live properly even without what he yearns for or needs. The self-imposed suffering that originates from deprivation installs the foundation for a new identity. An identity that is ingrained in wholeness, not need. Because a person that needs something outside of himself is just mere flesh, in comparison to the one who has learned how to conquer outside needs by becoming whole himself. Not needing pleasure because one is already pleased. Not needing validation because one is self-validating. Not needing happiness from outside sources because either one is able to create the happiness, or because one lives the concept of happiness created by outside sources to mere humans. A man is a conscious vessel of the divine, a divine that is not separate from him, but rather infused into him in such a way that he now understands his role in the universe, the part that he must play alongside a woman, which is another powerful creature. A man should be content with life, not happy. Content, because happiness is elusive and is a general consequence to something. But content is just unconditional wellness that is neither overhyped nor emotionally down. That is the man, the individual who has achieved ultimate equilibrium, that is made possible to him because he has accepted his burden willfully, joyfully, even because he knows that it'll only sharpen his journey toward self-discovery. It is my belief that the Garden of Eden we have been expelled from still exists, but not in this reality. Rather, in the one we can be able to create when we overcome this life. Think about it, it is only logical. We've been deprived of something eternal because we tricked our souls into wanting something less because we thought it was more. As a lesson, we are now exposed with full force to the real meaning of the less, which happens in some regards to have no meaning at all. From that perspective, I believe that once we accept and live and then outlive the meaningless by being meaning-driven, purpose-driven, we will regain possession of the meaningful. We have not lost it. We were just deemed unworthy of it. Let's become men again, players. Embrace life with joy. Whatever pain you might be currently in, face it with courage and flightiness. That is the attitude of a man. Understand that everything is meant to be part of your resume. We all have different stories, of course. They were never meant to be identical. Those who have unfinished stories but are still alive are just males. Those who see the stories to the last chapters and fight to the best of their abilities are men. Those who shape those stories in ways that fit the big picture of the higher power are gods. Now you have the cards. You decide what you want to be. Do you still want to keep complaining about life? Do you want to keep beating your female friend just to prove your power? Do you want to keep blaming others? Do you want to keep evading your responsibilities? What's your answer, player? A man never shies away from the fight, even though the odds are not in his favor. You must start by being true to yourself. Fix yourself internally. Don't play with your responsibility. Remember that I said earlier that a man does not seek recognition from outside because he is godlike. Because he has experienced the truth of what he is to a degree that leaves him in a state of awe with himself. To be a man is to prove oneself to oneself, because when you have proved yourself to yourself, who else do you need to prove yourself to? Not a goddamn one. Elevate yourself towards your divine self. Separate yourself from the ungodly part of you and achieve greatness. Everything I'm saying also applies to women. But as you know, what concerns us here is men. So I'm addressing that. Being a man is brutal, heartless, cold, because it first shows who you really are to yourself and then transfigures you into what you can be if you are willing to go there, conquer your weaknesses, but most importantly, conquer all and be aware of your strengths. Don't feel entitled to either, but be ready to use force when it's demanded. Being a man is embracing suffering and discomfort with grace and ease. Nothing is more beautiful than that. I hope you know and understand that that's what we have been doing here in the last 28 weeks. Keep rolling. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Ice, and this is the Ice Pod. I'm out. Peace.